Hi, Deep Divers. June here. Jessica and I are so excited to release today's episode. Before we do that, I wanted to invite you all to participate with me in a moment of silence for the shooting victims of Buffalo and Robb Elementary School. I will read the names of the lives lost and then sit in silence for 1 minute and then offer some action items to all of you deep divers that we can do immediately. I know I joined so many of you in saying I am truly without words and vacillating between horror and grief and anger and dissociation. And so many people are understandably and rightfully critical of spending any moments in silence in the face of the senseless and preventable slaughtering of elders and children and innocent people. And I feel the same. Thoughts and prayers are useless without action. But today, my hope is that as a community of deep divers, we might do both. I wholeheartedly reject the notion that there is nothing we can do, that the racist shooting 2 weeks ago of mostly elders in Buffalo and last week at Robb Elementary in Texas is something we should all expect. Complacency and acceptance and exhaustion is how we lose this fight. I will begin right now to read the names, and then I will sit in silence for 1 minute and then begin our deep dive action storm. Right now, we sit in silence and reflect on the victims of the Buffalo shooting, where Black people were sought out and slaughtered. Their names are Ruth Whitfield, 86 years old. Andre McNeil, 53 years old. Catherine Cat Massey, 72 years old. Celestine Cheney, 65 years old. Margus D. Morrison, 52 years old. Hayward Patterson, 67 years old. Aaron Salter Jr., 55 years old. Roberta Drury, 32 years old. Geraldine Talley, 62 years old. Pearl Young, 77 years old. And we also reflect on the victims of the Robb Elementary School shooting, where 21 children and adults were killed. McKenna Lee Elrod, 10 years old. Layla Salazar, 11 years old. Miranda Mathis, 11 years old. Nevaeh Bravo, 10 years old. Jose Manuel Flores Jr., 10 years old. Xavier Lopez, 10 years old. Tess Marie Mata, 10 years old. Rogelio Torres, 10 years old. Eliana Eli Amia Garcia, 9 years old. Eliana A. Torres, 10 years old. Annabelle Guadalupe Rodriguez, 10 years old. Jackie Cazares, 9 years old. Uzziah Garcia, 10 years old. JC Carmelo Luvanos, 10 years old. Maite Juliana Rodriguez, 10 years old. Jayla Nicole Silguero, 10 years old. Irma Garcia, 48 years old. Ava Mireles, 44 years old. Amari Jo Garza, 10 years old. Alexandria Lexi Ania Rubio, 10 years old. Alethea Ramirez, 10 years old. Thank you so much, Deep Divers, for sitting in honor of the elderly, the children, the people whose lives were lost. We are so right to feel devastated and grief-stricken in this moment, but we call on all of you Deep Divers and ourselves to do the following actions. Please grab a paper and a pencil. Action number one, if you're not already a part of Moms Demand Action, please consider joining by texting ACT, A-C-T, to 64433. Action number two, call 202-224-3121 to be connected to your U.S. senators. Tell them you want them to pass background checks on all gun sales to close the gun show loophole. This bill has sat on Mitch McConnell's desk for several years. Let's find 10 Republican senators who are brave enough to take action. Action three, also tell your senators you can call right back to confirm Steve Dettelbach as director of the ATF, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives. His Senate confirmation hearing is coming. Action number four, call 202-224-3121 to be connected to your U.S. representative. Tell them you want to co-sponsor Ethan's Law, H.R. 748. If they already do, tell them you want to vote. Ethan's Law would require that a gun, loaded or unloaded, be properly stored so that individuals under the age of 18 cannot access the firearm. This was prompted by the tragic death of 15-year-old Ethan Song. Action number five, call back to tell your representatives you want them to pass the assault weapons ban, H.R. 1808. Action number six, call your school board and demand that they send a letter home educating parents regarding safe storage of guns at home. My school district, LAUSD, already does this, but please call your school board to let them know. June 3rd is Wear Orange Day with events across the country. This year, we are wearing orange to tell our lawmakers to do their jobs and take action. In New York City, on June 4th at noon, there's going to be a rally at Foley Square in Manhattan and a march across the Brooklyn Bridge to Brooklyn. And in Los Angeles and Pasadena on June 4th at 6 p.m., volunteers are going to join together for a Wear Orange peace walk in unity and solidarity with survivors of gun violence. If you are in another city, please find the full list of events online at everytown.com. Thank you so much, Deep Divers, for committing to action and honoring the lives lost. We can do this, and enjoy the episode.
Hi, I'm Jessica St. Clair.
And I'm June Diane Raphael.
And this is
The Deep Dive.
We're about to do what women have done for centuries. We're crowding around the fire with our generous haunches. We got babies hanging off our tits, and we're going to share with you our fears.
That's right. Our joys.
Our tips on how to stay alive.
Now, Jess, we are heeding a call that no one has made.
Not a soul, but you're invited to listen.
Absolutely, because we make one promise and one promise only. We will not Google a thing,
because frankly, we're too damn tired.
Please get ready to go on
the deep dive.
Hi, Jessica.
June, take the wheel. We had to have a, well, you know, when we have to have a pre-chat.
Things aren't great.
Before a real chat.
You know, it's so funny. I really think like we've gotten on each other's emotional cycle. Like if we were living together we got on.
So true.
Because I literally was like in my kitchen and I thought, I got to hear June's voice like before we get on. And you called me like within a second of that, me thinking that. So we're on each other's cycle.
It's interesting you say that because I'm not one to make phone calls. I'm really not.
That's the understatement of the year. It's the understatement of the year.
And I know Deep Divers, you're like, okay, you won't text back. You won't respond to an email. Like, what will I do? And I know that that's hard, but I don't know. I'm just not one to make a phone call. And yet I was walking Meatball and I thought, I was actually listening to a podcast. I was with my podcast friends.
Of course. As was I. I was listening to The School of Self-Image, Obstructive Thoughts. how to clear the path. Okay, go ahead.
Wow, I need to actually get into that because I've been having some really intrusive, obstructive thoughts.
I want to hear that.
I'll tell you about them. But I was just walking and I thought I got to check in with her. And I did want to, you know, just check in. I am trying to like check in with people this week. It's a very, very heavy week. But I also just was like, I need to talk to her before we lay this down, you know, before we lay it down and lay it out. So it was good to talk.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and honestly, we're not going to dwell on this, but like I spent 3 hours last night in the ER parking lot of an animal hospital because Clover, Eleanor, Zelda Wigglebottom, the widow Wigglebottom, as she's known, got a foxtail up her nose, or so they thought. And from 2 p.m. on, that became, you know, the thing. And I thought, well, I got to just be due diligence. I'm not going to, you know, whatever.
You got to, yeah.
And I do not want to take even more than 30 seconds on this, but I was waiting there in the parking lot and I'm single parenting because Dan's away. So Bebe's in her pajamas. God bless. She's watching Letters to Juliet.
She has an iPad? Yeah. Isn't that like an this adult?
It's her favorite
movie. Wait, Letters to Juliet, directed by Gary Winnick, who also directed Bride Wars, who's like a dear friend of mine. Am I thinking the same movie?
Wait, is that
Letters
true? Because
Juliet?
If it is, I'd like to write him. It's one of my favorite
He's
movies.
Unfortunately, passed away.
Oh,
I
God.
Yeah, I want to talk about him, actually. It's so weird God. To bring him up.
Everyone needs to stop what they're doing. They need to put on their comfy cozies and watch Letters to Juliet. It's the most beautiful movie shot in Tuscany. Amanda Siegfried.
She's okay? incredible, man.
She's fucking luminous.
She delivers every single time. Travel
rom-com. It's so beautiful. And it's Bebe's favorite movie. I know that's strange, but there we were. And we waited for 2.5 hours. And I had been checking in with the front. And finally, I called and I was like, listen, I've seen the parking lot fill up and empty. And we're still here. And I've got an 8-year-old here. And we're nearing the climax of Letters to Juliet. And they said, oh, we took you off the list. You came in to the lobby and said you didn't want to wait and you left. And I go, I haven't left my car. And it was the same. This woman would not acknowledge that they'd fucked up.
Fuck.
And I had
to
say
and
Bebe was watching me.
Helping. Yeah,
but I was like,
it's hard.
I gotta tell you.
The children are watching.
I gotta tell you, you will not say you're sorry. And that's, and not only did she not say she was sorry, she was like, well, I can only believe what the front desk tells me. And I was like, then what they saw was a motherfucking ghost, a chimera. I said, because I have been in this car where you
died
told me to
here.
Stay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
they've had a visitation.
Place, like, what the fuck do you-
and so
call
after
Tyler
waiting-
Henry right now, because get the cameras rolling.
Fuck that. So I was like, I was so mad. I was shaking. And then I thought, well, I said, well, how long is it going to be now that you've put me back on the list after 3 hours? She goes, 4 to 6. I said, hours?
She said, yes.
So I was like, okay. So I just
now,
like,
is the widow Wigglebottoms in the car at that point? So
she's sleeping like a dream in the back.
Fuck.
So then I thought, well, I'm going to hope that this whatever is maybe not even in her nose has somehow cleared. It did. It cleared itself. So we didn't need to be there and she didn't need to get scoped. So I'm glad we didn't. It didn't happen. But then Bebe's like overtired. I was just like, I can't do this anymore.
Oh, wow.
So anyway, that's where I was. But everybody's fine. It's fine. We have to sometimes
tell you something,
do that.
And I do believe that sometimes these conversations are divinely guided, because I am so like touched and moved that Letters to Juliet was playing during this utter disaster, because Gary Winnick.
Tell me about him.
Oh, God, I'll tell you about him. Oh, God, he was so special. So Gary Winnick, Casey and I wrote the script for Bride Wars, and it went through a number of like creative, you know, you understand, like a big studio movie,
sure,
lots of rewrites, all that jazz. So But then the movie is greenlit. It's a go movie.
Yeah.
And
which is absolutely like a feat of nature. Like it never happens.
You know what? And unfortunately, because it was the first thing we had ever written.
Yeah. You didn't even know how crazy that was.
I didn't understand that. I was like, I don't know why people say this industry is hard.
Yeah. Like so easy.
Yeah. You just go and like you write something and then they do it. You know, and then Kate Hudson like is in it, and then Anne Hathaway is, and that's easy.
No,
it's so easy.
Yeah, I mean, stupid.
Again, like,
what a dummy.
I apologize to everybody I interacted with during that time.
What a dummy,
fucking asshole!
Fucking idiot.
What an idiot. Like, I was like, maybe you all are just lazy, but it is not hard to get a movie made at all. So anyway, so they're attaching. It's time to attach a director. And Casey and I knew America Ferrara because of a few different reasons. One of our dear friends, who was actually at Matt McConkie's wedding, was her assistant.
Okay.
And we had met her a few times. And at that point, I think she and I had the same manager. And she was just so lovely and so wonderful. And she had the script of Bride Wars. She had read it. And Gary Winnick was directing an episode of Ugly Betty.
Oh,
and she said to him, she loved him. I mean, everybody who worked with him loved him. And she said to him, you've got to do this movie.
Oh my God. And that's how it happened.
And so then I think she texted me and Casey and she's like, you guys, Gary is the person to direct this movie. Please try. And it was just so, and then he ended up, Fox was really excited about him. He ended up doing the movie. And then, you know, I was there in Boston shooting it with him. And we definitely had a few creative disagreements along the way, but that's to be expected. And that's a healthy creative relationship. You know what I mean? But boy, was he a lovely person and loved children. Like, I remember Kate Hudson's son was on that set a lot. He was really little at that point. And I just remember between takes, Gary would like, you know, just want to be around kids all the time. He was just such a sweet man.
Well, you can tell in his work. You can tell.
You absolutely
can tell.
He didn't have children of his own. And then it came time. And also let me improvise and do whatever I wanted in the movie. Yeah. And then I also got to see him direct. Like, I remember this particular scene. He was like, can you come and help? And I got to... Not direct it with him is too, you know, strong.
Was this the scene where they get, where they have their break, where they're going down?
Oh, that he did beautifully.
That was a beautiful moment in that movie. I will never forget that moment, actually. Yeah. But anyway.
No, it was the scene. It was the scene. It was part of a montage, but it was a scene where like Anne Hathaway is drunk and there's this footage of her in spring break and. Anyway, but you know, he was unsure about it and just like was so collaborative with me.
Yeah.
And then the movie comes out and it's the premiere, you know, we're going to go to the premiere. And Gary got me and Casey, because, you know, the whole premise of the movie is that these two women want to get married at the Plaza.
Yeah.
And they choose the same date. And the wedding planner, as you know, Jessica, is named Marion St. Clair after you.
I hope you
take that in. That
Candace Bergen is
named
like,
a character was everything. After
and that
you.
She, when she arrived on screen with that pop collar, I was like, oh, I can die happy.
Like that was.
And that was before we were homage. Truly
No, but that was friends. During the time where Casey and I felt we were so enamored with you, but didn't think we could like. Break the seal and get to you as closely as we wanted to. Now I understand that was so crazy, but because we were so in awe of your talent.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was an open jar of jelly jam just waiting to be tasted.
So we thought maybe if we wrote your name into the movie, like it was just a way of getting closer to you. So anyway.
Strange.
This whole thing, you know, the whole movie, the premise is based on the Plaza. So... Gary got me and Casey two suites at the Plaza.
Oh my God!
Hotel,
what?
The premiere of the movie.
Oh, that's
and said,
special.
I want you all to have a real time, and so we went. And boy, did we have fun!
Oh, I bet.
And we stayed at the Plaza.
When would you ever stay at the Plaza? When would you ever stay there?
And then, you know, just what a dear man. So Gary, unfortunately, was diagnosed with brain cancer soon after that. And then Casey and I started working on Ass Backwards. And he was so sick in his apartment in New York. And we, at that point, I think the funding of the movie had collapsed and we were beside ourselves. And he, no, even before then, we were trying to cast the movie. You know, he came from indie film. He was so wanted that us to do our too. Own thing.
That makes sense too. In
and
his
God
touch.
Bless him. He also directed 13 Going on 30.
Oh, said, Gary, my God, one of my favorite movies.
I know, we have a small role that we would like to offer Jennifer Garner. And he was like, absolutely, I'll call her. Oh. Hey, the man. And even so then when he got really sick, he was still Jess. He was still making phone calls for us.
What a legacy.
What a
sweet angel,
so
man.
And Letters to Juliet was his last movie.
I can't believe you haven't seen this film. It's really
No, I have seen it.
You have
when
seen
you
it.
Said
okay.
it, I have seen it, but when you said it, I was like, wait, is that the same? Honestly, I couldn't imagine Bebe watching it because to me it's an adult
movie.
Well,
that's an insane thing. Her favorite movies are Mamma Mia.
Okay.
One.
Well, Mamma Mia can still understand, but Letters to Juliet, I mean, maybe let me see the rating on that. And I hate You know, I
there's really no,
morning.
There's nothing. There's absolutely
okay,
nothing
great
that she shouldn't be watching. But
fantastic.
Why she loves.
I love that for her.
That
no,
movie.
I told you this morning on our phone call and we discussed it a little bit last week. Like for so long, I was like, I'm not going to share any judgment with my friends and really reveal how I maybe disagree with some of their choices. And now I'm turning over a new page and I am going to be judging pretty harshly.
Oh, what happened? What? Oh, so like if this was an inappropriate movie, you would have shamed me for it?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. Gone are the days where.
Oh, you
we have
did
to
say
make...
that. This morning you said, yeah, I'm going to be coming down harder on you about certain things. And I was like, oh, okay, that's a shift. But again,
that is a shift. You know, it's not
I
this
appreciate
like
it.
Line support anymore, Jess.
We don't need that.
That's,
honestly,
we don't have the time for it.
Honesty. We need
we
brutal,
gotta speak brutal honesty.
Okay, I gotta cut
the
to the fucking face.
Because it's like you're gonna learn your lesson. You know, we're all gonna learn our lessons, but it could be months later, it could be years later. So it's like, what are we?
We've not done anyone any favors.
That's
and
what
also
I'm
that
saying.
Subtlety is lost when you're exhausted.
That's right.
We, you
right,
know,
like when you said to me, and I did feel you judging pretty harshly about that project when you said I didn't want to tell you. It's like, just first of all, I knew, but also like, let's cut to the chase. We don't have the time. You know,
let's
we don't have
plainly.
The time.
Let's speak plainly.
Yes, and let's speak our truths.
Let's you be know, as we close must. To Amish as we can. You know, I don't know exactly what that means, except they definitely kept everything off the floor and swept a whole lot.
That's
but let's,
right. You
know,
you were walking into another person's home and you are in Amish country. And like you, I do feel you're pretty free to judge if one thing is out of place.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
and I would
yeah.
never judge on the like domestic capability. I don't care about that.
No.
But for the things I do care about. I'm going to raise my voice.
Great.
You know? And
I appreciate that. We're
and I
stronger
hope that's okay
together.
With you.
Oh, it
yes.
is.
Yes.
God, it is. It just is, you know? I really do. I appreciate pushback. Because I would like to say the decisions that we made during the pandemic and the decisions that we're still making, some are not of sound mind.
That's right.
They really aren't. We are grasping still for joy and we're grasping to like make up for certain for losses. But anyway, we need pushback sometimes from our friends because we may still be floundering. You have to know that. This is not
And that's gonna be a new page. And I know Deep Divers, for those of you who have listened from the beginning, like this is gonna be we're entering into a new chapter. You know,
yes.
where you're going to see a lot more judgment, a lot. The language will be more pointed. This isn't a podcast where just women support women.
Well, you know what I really appreciated is when we were doing our photo shoot that will break the internet and possibly the entertainment industry, I came out, I was so tired again. I was tired. And I came out in the first look and I was like, this is great. I'm usually pretty easy breezy when it comes to whatever you put on my body. And you said, absolutely not. Go back in. I don't like this look for you. I do not like this look for you. Go back in. And then you were like, I hope that's okay. I was like, of course, if you see something, say something.
You know, something I do feel often when doing guest star work or whatever, so you look like, oh, you're doing comedy. Let me give you a funny outfit.
Sure.
And I'm like, okay, let me concern myself with the comedy.
No, okay? Let us I don't always need be beautiful.
The clothes let us to be funny.
No.
Yeah. I'm like,
so, just like when someone come at me once. In fact, when I met my makeup artist, one of my best friends, she was like on this, I was a first job in LA. And she was like, they've asked me to make you look tired. And I said, don't you fucking
don't
touch
you
me.
Fucking dare.
I'll act tired.
Well, I'm always, and now I've come to, and unfortunately I had a very terrible experience with a costume designer. Very terrible. And I'm still, I know she spread the word about me. I won't name names and I won't name the production, but I know because now when I walk into fittings, I see the costume designers look at me with such fear, you know, and I know she put me and I did ask my costume designer, Grayson Frankie, I said, did you ever hear anything about me? And she said, oh, yeah. And
oh,
she named
shit.
That person. And she said she spread
oh,
the word.
Oh, shit.
And I'm like, spread it, bitch. Fucking spread it. Because what happened between me and that woman, I had to completely, Jessica, I can't even tell you what she tried to put me in.
Yeah, yeah.
The most
yeah.
absurd muumuu with yeah. giant dots on it that I had ever seen.
No, no. Okay.
And she was like, she kept on telling me this is some designer from some place.
I don't care where it's from.
And that it was really special. And I'm like,
she
I don't
dare.
Give a, and telling me the price of it. I'm like, I don't give a fuck how much this cost, who made it. I will not put this on my body. And she's like, well, we've had production meetings and this is what they said.
I don't care.
I think it's really funny. And I said, bring them all down. Bring the producers down. Bring the director down. Bring the showrunner down. But that ain't going on me. You're not taking a picture of that. This is a no.
Don't ever listen to me. Don't ever let, if they take a picture of you, and this goes for anything.
You can't ever yes. Say it.
My friend Kristen. There ain't a bad picture of her existing in the world. Not in the world. I go back into college. I'm like, gotta find something awkward to her. Nope. Because she is like, there is no reason for there to be a bad photo of you taken. Ever.
Wow.
Ever. Step out of frame if you ain't camera ready.
I love it because that's what she kept on saying is like, just let me take a photo. And I
nope.
didn't even put it on my body. But I had to go so far with her,
yeah.
you know, and say, call my agents. Like, this
I'll
is a sit-in. This is
I'll
a fucking protest.
This
I'll sit right here.
Down.
I'll bring my own clothes in, but I am not putting that on. Fire me. Go ahead and fire me. You know? So anyway. But long story short, deep divers, I do find for me sometimes walking into a professional setting, photo shoot, hair and makeup, especially when, the first 10 minutes for me are really hard because I think
too.
To myself, I want to come in easy breezy. I want to be light and easy. But then I start seeing a few things that I'm not okay with. And again, do I look back and think, did I upset people?
No.
Did I, you know, but I did feel I had to come in strong to say, like, this is not where we're going to go today. And you did seem that the heartbreaking thing was like, you seemed quite happy in it, you know,
because again,
have to say to your
I'm
friend,
too
like,
tired.
You've
you
got to get that off right now.
We're so tired as mothers and people in the world. I'm not going to just say mothers because people in the world, we're so tired surviving. That you should assume that I'm functioning like a drunk person at 9 a.m. That I am like blindly going through life. Like, if you see something, say something. And I agree, like my girlfriends and I, my oldest friends, if you are not honest with somebody in a dressing room about how a pair of pants looks on somebody's bodies, then you are not friends. That's no one friend of
my,
mine.
One of my greatest regrets in life is, and I've tried to atone for this, but mm-hmm. my very best friend in the world got married and she looked so fucking stunning. Monique Lhuillier wedding dress.
Yeah.
So beautiful. But this gal knows how to party. And she had beautiful extensions in her hair. Hair looked insanely gorgeous. And we were dancing so hard and yeah. she was sweating so much.
Yeah.
And she sweats, you know, as but do we all. But she did not leave the dance floor.
Sure.
Like when I tell you she went hard.
Yeah.
She went
that.
So fucking hard at that on that wedding dance floor. And I am looking at her and I thought to myself, take her out.
We need to touch up.
We need a touch up.
Yeah.
But
that's
I
on
could
you.
Never, Jess, I could never get in there. I could
no,
never
you could have.
Quite,
you
I
just
couldn't
didn't.
Find my I didn't.
You didn't go hard enough.
And the joy on her face as her mascara was streaming down it, you know, and her extensions were clearly visible because they were matted in sweat. You know, it was so hard. There were so many competing feelings. It's like she's having so much fun, but boy, it's falling apart out there. And, you know, it's a heavily photographed moment.
And listen, a lot of people are going to come possibly at us to say the joy was more important than the photo. And I would say we can have both and we should
both.
Have
if
both.
If I could have had 5 minutes with her.
If you are in a wedding party, okay, and there's going to be some second and third and fourth marriages that we need to prepare for.
Yeah.
Your job, you are a lady in waiting or a gentleman in waiting. You
and
should
I wasn't
have
a wedding party.
You should have your mints, you should have your concealer, you should have your powder, your blotting papers.
I
you
got
need to come
confused.
Correct.
I got confused.
You're
I
not there to have a good time.
I was yes, and I thought, God, the look on her face, she's just having so much fun that I didn't want to pull her away from the fun. And that is my failure. That is my shame. And
you live with that.
And I live with that every day.
You should.
Right? And I'm sorry that this podcast is taking women back.
I don't care.
So many
touch
centuries.
Ups. Touch
that, that it's become like two Victorian widows waxing poetic on what we should look like and what others should look like. It's now a podcast of like manners.
I'm okay with it.
It's like an Oscar Wilde pastiche.
Okay with it.
I apologize.
I don't apologize
you know, some
for
of this,
it.
Okay, fine. But Jess, anyway, that's one of my great shames. And I have talked to my best friend about it and she is quite We are resolved, but she did remind me there was a bridal suite right upstairs, feet away, you know,
yep.
And her duty was to have fun and be the light of the party. And I didn't understand my position and that deep divers will not happen again.
June, we have a treat of a guest, and she is to be savored like a little, like one of those little tea cakes. You know, she's savory.
When her camera went on, Jess, I gasped. Both of us
yeah.
did. We had to, there was a quick inhale because it's really quite something to see.
Yeah. She's a beautiful woman, both inside and out, and she's also extremely talented. Her name is Vera Santa Maria. Vera is one of the most talented writers I've ever worked with. She's a screenwriter. She writes for television and movies. She was the executive producer of the second season of Pen 15, award-winning. Orange is the New Black, BoJack Horseman. Most recently, Apple's new show, Roar, which is this absolutely powerful feminist anthology. And she was in all three seasons in the writer's room of Playing House. And when I tell you, she was my right hand. She was Lennon's right hand. She delivered scripts that were so perfect. Because Vera, my friend, is an A-plus student, okay? She's the Tracy Flick of writers, but without any of the annoying qualities, okay? She's excellent. She is excellent at her job. And so, and also just one of my dearest friends. Please welcome to the deep dive, Vera.
Hi, guys. Hi. Nice to see you both. My new friend, June, my old friend, Jessica.
Vera, I actually want to start off. I'm so sorry, Jessica, to interrupt. I know this is going to be an uncomfortable conversation because we're both going to be, you know, just like trying to get at you. And I've never done this like so publicly before, but with an invitation, because I am hosting Vera on this coming, I'm so sorry, Sunday night at my home at 5 p.m. I don't know if you're away this weekend. I don't know if you're available, but I am hosting our grooms, which is where Vera and I really connected, for a post-wedding kind of...
post-mortem.
Yeah, post-mortem.
Yes.
So
plans are canceled. I am there. RSVP, okay. Yes.
Okay, great. So it's going to be Matt and Michael, Casey and David, Aaron and Josh, and then I would really love you to join because my plan, Vera, is to go through that weekend beat by beat.
I think we do need a recap.
I really think we do. Yeah. And I think we need to be... I think there's some aftercare that's needed with that wedding. Like, I felt like it was such an emotional weekend and then we were all just like thrown into life.
Yeah.
And I do think let's like take a second. Let's talk it through. Let's go over a few things.
I think that's great because everybody's been asking me about it. You know, the pictures weren't enough. They wanted the parts in between. And like you, I was like, I don't even know how to put this into words. It's hard to digest what we felt.
Yes.
Does everybody want to hear about this wedding they didn't attend?
Of course they do. I told you, this is like one of those Newport weddings from the turn of the century, you know, where I would have
three widowers. It is part of our duty as widows to kind of share the news.
You know, and so I feel like I was trying to read about it on the society pages and I knew June wouldn't write me back, but God damn it, I knew Vera would. And I got her at 8 a.m. on a Saturday morning.
Yeah. Yeah. We went deep.
Yeah, tell me what's happening. And she just wrote back, it's indescribable. Like, again, it gave me no details. So Vera, though, to set the scene, Vera is old school best friends with one of the grooms, and you are best friends with the other groom.
That's correct.
So in the rom-com version of this, directed by Gary Winnick, you two might have been warring with each other. Ooh. But instead, you actually fell very much in love.
We have held hands. We've looked in each other's eyes already. We've experienced some harrowing things, some high speeds in a bus.
Well, listen, and Vera, we did. And then also there was a terrible morning we experienced together where Vera could not find a bottle of water that was big enough for her needs. And I do
check in about that.
That skin doesn't come cheap. Oh boy, is it hydrated. And I saw her trying to get at a bottle of water. We were staying at the Ojai Valley in a beautiful place, but what was it, Vera? The waters, it felt like there were water options, but the bottles were small. And I didn't want to suggest you just buy multiples of those. It was like you seemed to want a specific thing.
You know, it was just really hard for me and where I come from to pay $14.95 for a small bottle of water. I just couldn't do it. They were like, oh, that's just sport. Like, it was truly $7.95. And I was like, I just can't when I know there's like a Vons nearby, or I just want a tap of clean water. Mm-hmm. And just like, I just was like, no, I have a principle here. I won't do that. And I also, you don't have enough. I need many. There's going to be drinking happening. And I do not want to feel terrible.
It was just so hard to witness because in the meantime, like time was passing and you were getting thirstier and thirstier.
Thirsty, that means you're dehydrated.
Yeah.
But you have to understand, Vera is Canadian. She's coming at our world with clear eyes. You know, she's like, you guys
clearly
are
Canadian.
Crazy.
And that's back, by the way. I don't know.
It
clearly Canadian is back. And I grew up like I'm made of clearly Canadian.
Clearly Canadian?
It's like the original LaCroix, right?
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Another thing stolen from us.
Yeah. And then, well, I don't know. Was it big in Canada?
Yeah, it was. I used to like pop bottles of that at Bulk Barn.
It's so good. And it was actually, that's honestly what was my first introduction to Canada. I didn't know about like maple syrup. I didn't know about anything. And I was like, clearly Canadian. It was so good. And it's back on the shelf.
God bless.
What shelf? Yeah.
I don't know. I can't get that specific about it, but I know people have been talking about the fact that it is back and better than ever. And the packaging was so beautiful.
Yeah. Clear bottle, well, like a bucket of cherries on it.
Uh-huh. I'd love to talk more about Clearly Canadian, and I would love to have them on as a sponsor. But my introduction to Canada was meeting Vera for the first time. Okay. So I just want to take us back to that moment and then I want to get into Vera's career and how she's built also the most beautiful jewel box of a life that involves a storybook home. Okay. It's
truly. I'm just like my eyes. I'm trying to get at her background.
No, it's a storybook home. Yeah, there we go. Wow, that's a vintage
library
card catalog behind her. Okay. Okay. Vera. Okay. Oh, so what happened was playing house. We do the pilot. We get picked up. So exciting. Lennon had just given birth to her first baby. I was pregnant. She goes on maternity leave. She's like, listen, you have to staff this writer's room by yourself, Jessica. Now, you know a lot about me, okay? I make rash decisions.
Yeah.
Not all of them are good. I say odd things in meetings that shouldn't be said. I touch people too soon. So that was, I was like, okay. Lennon had no choice but to let me loose into the world. So I start taking these meetings.
That must have been hard for her.
You know, she was so tired. Again, she couldn't really put up a fight and she had to just let go. So I start meeting people and Vera comes in and she's wearing what I believe was a silk cream blouse and a pair of skinny jeans and some, you know, and some beautiful flats. And she was so classy. And I don't know, how long was it before I said, I have to have you, is what I believe I said.
By the end of the meeting, you were like, I have to have you. And I just kept saying, you can have me. Like, I want to be had. But you just didn't believe me. Like, you were insistent in a way like that I was going to escape when you were like an oasis in my life. I was like, oh, these are my people. But you just kept repeating it. And like, I think there's maybe a touching of the blouse. And I was like, I am absolutely available for this. Please hire me. And you were like, I have to have you.
I just knew it. And you know, it was like, her writing was amazing. And you came from Canada, like having run your own shows that were so iconic there. And so I just couldn't believe like I could maybe have you. And so the rest is history. She wrote some of the most, you know, of my favorite episodes of Playing House. But also like when you run a show, you get delivered scripts by writers in the room and Vera would deliver a perfect script that she obviously had honed and shone like a diamond. And it's such a gift because you're so tired that you don't have to do shit, but show the fuck up. And she also, Vera is a lot like Lennon, I think, honestly, in that you hang back a bit. You're very thoughtful. And
that sounds so not nice.
Yeah, you don't. She doesn't speak out of turn or shockingly. But also she's just when she does speak, it's like very targeted and perfect and important. But also there's something about Vera that I felt like, and again, I will let you speak, Vera, that she was like an old childhood friend. And so I could be myself in front of her. And so, and that was very important because our room was very small. And if anyone had been weird or thrown off that kind of intimacy, we would have been really fucked. And so that's, and the fact also that Vera came back for three seasons because God damn it, we had not a dime to rub together. And so she had many offers and she would always show up.
God bless you, Vera. Okay. God bless you and God keep you.
I mean, I just fell in love. Like, I think I'd like to start like 2 years before that interview where I was in another writing room having a very hard time and I would watch BFF and be like, who are these people? How do I get on this show?
Wow, because you must have been the only person who'd watched BFF. No, that's wild. I'm serious.
I was like, please, like, I think I wrote my, I was like, please, if this gets a season 2, please put me on. it didn't get a season two, but then it got even better because then Playing House got greenlit. And I will say, like, you caught me in a really hard time. I'd done like 3 years of writing rooms on big, like 18 person room comedies. I wouldn't say I was excelling, trying hard, but not working. And so then when you and I locked eyes and I was like, oh, these might be my people and there is a place for me. And what I do and the way I do it, it just was like, you kind of reaffirmed me even being here in a way that I don't even think you even know. Cause I was like,
I did not know that at all.
Yeah. 100%.
Wow, that's really special.
You guys created like a place where it's like you and Lennon in the room. I was like, oh, what I have can be valued here in these scales of shows and rooms. And so it changed everything.
And then after Playing House, I mean, Vera has just destroyed. I mean, once she got out, I'll never get her back because now she's too huge.
Yeah, she's gone, Jess.
No, yeah. I know she is. Gone, girl. I'm done. She's the one that got away.
Yeah.
You know, and I get that. And I have to share her with the world. It's not, you know, it's like Stedman and Oprah. Like, he can't have all of her. He's never going to have all of her.
Now, Vera, I don't know if I spoke about this on the podcast where we talked about the wedding, but you know, you and I had a moment together on the bus ride back where I was on various substances and
coursing through your veins,
competing,
veins. Probably competing substances too. Some uppers, some downers, some all arounders.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I sat next to Vera and I did feel like I was sitting next to a clearly Canadian bottle, like something strong, something clear, something present that I could trust and believe in. And there were several times I had to say to her, like, is the bus moving 90 miles an hour? Like, am I, you know, I had some very crazy thoughts, but I also wasn't panicking. I was like, I want everybody to know that I am confused. But I'm not scared.
And you weren't scared because Vera was next to you. It was because Vera was next to you.
She was really grounded. She was a grounding force on that bus ride back. So thank you, Vera.
You're welcome. Vera, you know,
do you play that role in a lot of people's lives? A grounding force?
I think so. I do. I think it's just like, I don't know. It's really important to me to kind of just stay like, commit to like what is actually real, especially here, because it's like there's so many words thrown around and you can really lose like, wait, is that real? So I just try to like, if a friend is beating themselves up and I don't think it's accurate, I will be like, I just want to check you there, because it's like so easy for the hot air balloon to just like go up into the air. And I think it ties to what you guys were saying before I got on, which is like, I firmly believe that it's like, because I'm try to be honest and I try to be kind. Sometimes I fail at that part in the process of being honest, but I just feel like that's my value, so that you can kind of be in a place where it's like everything's swirling. And if you look at me, I'm not going to lie to you.
That's the truth. But I did want to take us back to season two of Playing House, because we have season one, okay? Mm-hmm. We get all the money in the world. We're kind of living high on the hog, okay? We're you get sushi for everybody, okay?
That's, you know, not swag, true, but continue.
Okay, no, 100%. Swag bags. Yeah, swag bags, you know, lots of different merch, okay? Like a gardening set that was like Playing House branded.
That's
okay?
So cute.
Just weird shit, okay? Then we almost don't get picked up for season two. We think it's dead. Everyone goes about and gets other jobs. Then we get a call. Oh, actually, it's back on, but you're going to have half the budget. Mm-hmm. And you're going to have to shoot on location and everything's halved. Now, it's really hard to go from full to half. It's hard to do that. Okay. We were housed in what I can describe as, like, remember in what's the movie where there's the half floor? The Orchid Thief or whatever. What is that shit?
I want to say like Adaptation or something.
Adaptation.
Yes.
Okay.
And there's a half floor where everyone has to crouch. That's what we had. It was like this horrible office had been sliced in half Everybody was sharing a room. Everything was off. Everything. Our outside space was a unpermitted black tar roof that overlooked a fake studio. It was horrible. We could have plunged to our death at any point. And everything was hard. And I was not feeling well, but I didn't know it. And I guess the only person I told was Vera.
Yes. To which I said, I have a naturopath I think you should go see.
Right. And I ignored her. But I when I got sick, Vera was like, oh, I knew you were sick. Like, you told me.
Yeah.
I don't think I realized you weren't feeling well, Jess.
I didn't either. Vera was the only one who knew.
I just could see, like, it was obviously a very stressful time, season two. Like, nobody wants to kind of get to have things taken away. And that was really hard. So it was really stressful. And I just, now I knew you. Like, it's such an intimate thing to be a writer on a show, especially with you and Lennon and how you guys improvise and everything. So it's like, I felt like I knew you really well. And I could feel the shift. And I just wasn't sure what was going on. And I think you even said, like, Dan has something going on too. And I was like, because this needs to be checked out, you know, which is just like, who among us hasn't ignored, you know, a pain?
That's so right. And the feeling of I'm just drained. Like, I knew I just didn't have it. I didn't have the energy that I had in season one. And that made no sense because I had a newborn in season one and I couldn't have had more energy in the writer's room.
Wow.
Everything felt hard. And it just is so classic Vera that she saw it and noticed it. And I wish, of course, now I would have listened to her. But we got through season two and then we come back season three. Yeah. And they had tried to give us half the money again. And we said no, which was my biggest lean back moment of my life. And then we decided, oh, we're going to do this healthy. And we did, right, Vera? We had a special, special writer's room. It was smaller than even one or two, okay? Yeah. There were, what, six people in the room?
Yeah, it was tiny. And they were like, we are only going to work from, I think, like 9:30 to 4. And I never heard of that. I doubted it was possible. And we
with an hour break for lunch.
With an hour break for lunch.
We meditated, all of us.
Yeah, you brought in Lynn, the meditation
teacher. Like
Oprah's
workspace, yeah.
And she, like, what was so many things about interesting working on that show, but it's like, here were these two women advocating for what they needed from even season one, because you guys both had newborns. So now you're like both pumping in your trailers and we're doing revisions. And so just seeing you like grow and advocate for what you needed, it was kind of like season one was prep for season three. It was inspiring to me because I hadn't worked with kind of powerful women like that who were like, no, we'll do it. It'll still be excellent, but we're going to do it our way, and we like guarantee it's going to be amazing. And it was. So that was super special.
We came on, we finished, and everybody said, there's no way you won't get it done in time.
Yeah.
There's no way you can do this. And we did it. We finished ahead of time. And people were so healthy and happy. And I mean, I was going through radiation during that writer's room. So I was real hot. I was also having hot flashes, like 16 hot flashes an hour. And then also we were improvising the real scenes of what had happened when I got diagnosed in front of the writer. Mm-hmm. They come and watch us a lot of the time. So we would have Vera in the room while we were improvising things that had actually happened. It was really odd. Also, by the way, Dan was in chemo.
Yeah.
And getting scans. So I will never forget when he got his first scan and all the writer's room, we were waiting to hear. And I came in. Do you remember, Vera? I came in and I was like, it's clear.
Yeah.
And we
wasn't strange because it's like I fell in love season one. So now you're my friend. And so I remember Lennon telling me that you in like after season two that you got breast cancer. And it's just like tears. And then day one, you're telling us where you're at. And you know, you're holding it all together. You're being strong fighter, Jessica. But again, it's just like the tears come because it's like we really didn't know. Of course, we were holding the space and the hope for everything. But like to work with somebody who's going through cancer and her husband is going through cancer treatments, recovery, exploration, all that, it was it left us all like shook and cracked open in a way that we then just put like all on the show. And yeah, you just sort of, I just was like, I just want you two to be okay. And I just fell in love, and it's like your family. So it's like, that was my main concern. It's like, okay, yeah. And we'll write this Toyota Highlander ad in our show. Fine. But I just want you to be okay. We had to do a lot of like Toyota promos that season.
The Highlander is a great car.
It's a great car. We could get behind it.
They should have, but Vera, I just, you know, I'm crying, of course, because that time is so burned in my memory.
Yeah.
Of being in that room with you and having you guys sort of like hold me up and like carry me through what was the darkest waters, because me being sick was one thing, but then Dan being sick was a whole different story. And I was just like, I got to keep, you know, Julia Louis-Dreyfus talks about when she was in the water scuba dive or snorkeling and there was a shark in the water and her husband said, Julia, I need you to swim to the ladder. I need you to swim to the ladder. And she was like, all I focused on was getting to the ladder before the shark got me. And that's what it was like. But I also had these like people, and you were hugely one of them, who were just like, we're going to just keep going.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're not going to let you fall, you know? And it's like,
yeah, it was crazy.
Also, like season one, you were pregnant. So I don't think BB knows this, but I think that she's like 0.5% my baby. Cause it's like, yes. I saw you grow this baby, and then this like perfect little child came out, and then this baby was on the set and you were kissing its head. So it's like, it's all this kind of, the show stuff falls away, and you're just more like, I'm an investor in your life and I'm not going to let you fall.
In any way. That's why also, you know, that she delivers these scripts. I was like, oh, great. You've just taken that off my plate and made me so that I can succeed in this beautiful season. That is probably the best, most important thing I've ever done in my life. So that's Vera, you know? Okay. So then Vera, tell me this. Okay. So then you had it. I felt like I watched you rise like a phoenix. Okay. From what you were telling me was a very hard time in your career. And I knew a little bit about it, but then I see you like emerge, also like you became even more beautiful and like owned this kind of style that was just sort of like banging. And like, then you bought this beautiful house and got a dog, and everything in your life just was like, felt like it was like sunshine pouring out of your eyeballs. Can you tell me about, was that a conscious decision of yours to go like, I'm going to start living the life of my dreams, or was it just, did it happen naturally?
I think, like, not to bring it back to you and Lennon again, but it's like, I had like women who were like doing the thing with strength, partners, families, going for it. And so I think I was suffering from the thing of like, life is later. And I think watching you guys and seeing everything, I was like, oh, life is right life now. Is not, it is right now. It is not is like not later. Later.
Ooh. No, it is not. No, it is
so you're
not.
Waiting for all these other things to fall into place, but it's like, then you were like, I was in a pause. So then I think from there, like in between playing House Seasons, I started working on BoJack. That was another lovely room. So you have like, okay, here's two good places to work. And then from there, it's like, what's the next right choice that's going to make you happy, that you feel like you have some meaning in the work? And maybe it was like what you went through, because it's like, I was like, oh shit, like, you don't know when it's going to happen. Like, we're almost the same age. So it's like, okay, you can't predict like what's going to come, and you can't wait for the right partner and then everything will be right. It's like, no, you just got to kind of bring that joy into your life. Try to do the, not to say there's been so many hard things in these years, but I just try to like, I try to choose things where it's like, oh, I get a happy feeling, because that's all we have control over, because we don't know how the show is going to be received. We can work so hard. No one can watch it. Yeah. One ding dong can say something critical about it, and then no one will watch it. But all we have is our writers' rooms and when we made it and that kind of stuff. So I've just tried to do it like that. And then, I don't know, it's not like a perfect existence. It's more just like, okay, trying to be, I'm like, this is it. How do you make happiness out of what you're in? Or how do you coast the shitty parts?
Yeah. Oh, right. God. And you got to head toward the joy.
Vera, I have to ask, can you tell me a little bit about the dog? What?
Oh, yes. The dog.
Yeah, I just want to
where is she right now?
Yeah.
Should I bring her on screen?
I would love the content that Vera delivers. Did you see her in that little bodysuit that she just walked out?
Is that a bodysuit? She's a classic beauty.
Oh, yeah, she is. This dog is outrageous.
This is Pepper Santa Maria.
Pepper. What a great name.
She's Pepper taking my last name. So here's the story about Pepper. So I was working on Orange is the New Black, and one of the writers, Tammy Sager, was dog-sitting Pepper. Yes. So Tammy was dog-sitting Pepper. It was actually the first weekend I was going to be in my house, and Tammy's going back to New York, and she was like, who would like to dog-sit Pepper? And I, like, raised my hand first before everybody because I was scared to be in this house alone. I was like, oh.
Of course.
Yeah, I was like, it's sort of like an older home. I was like, I don't know if there are ghosts here yet. Like, I...
1,000%.
Yeah, so it's like, this dog would help me. So I bring her home in my car. I have people over in the backyard. We have a pizza party. I'm very scared to be here by myself.
Yeah, we never want to be alone.
No. So then everybody leaves and Pepper's here. I go to sleep. I leave her downstairs. She starts jumping. She comes upstairs and she scares the shit out of me because I'm lying down and all I see is a head coming up. So she crawled upstairs and I was like, what in the actual?
She crawled under the covers. She was like, I need to go.
This is where I need to be.
What are you doing?
I'm not going to be downstairs.
How can I guard you from being killed in your sleep if I'm not next to you?
I also feel like she's like, you're not the only one scared here.
Yes. Yeah. I'm going to find that out. So then I bring her into my bed. I was like, wow, okay. And then she fucking barfs pizza everywhere in the bed. Pizza crust all over the fresh white sheets. And I was like, I cannot believe this. So I was like, I have to go out in the night at 3 a.m. in this new area. And it's like a misty night. You know when LA gets misty every once in a while?
Yeah.
It's spooky. So I'm really nice to her about it. I strip the sheets. Like, we go for a walk. She barfs a little more. And then from then on, it was like our meet cute. Because it's like, I was cool about it. She felt cared for. But she wasn't my dog yet.
I was cool about it.
Wow. I was cool about it. She liked that. So long story short, when the previous owners were looking to rehome her because of their busy lives, I was like, I'm in love with your dog. Make the choice that you guys need to make. But it will be an open situation because I love her and I know you love her, but I'm going to be kind of in LA these next few years. And so
waiting in the wings.
And I'm waiting in the wings. And so they said, let us think about it. A month passed and I was like, well, maybe it wasn't meant to be. And then Labor Day weekend, they said, hey, you know, we've thought about it and we think that she would have like a perfect home with you and the thought that we could come and visit her as we need. And so we had like that kind of situation. We still do. They come and they see her, they walk her.
An open adoption.
Beautiful.
And how
she also, I like that Pepper didn't, you know, you had her on your lap for a second, but she didn't really show us her face all too much, which she really stayed with mom over there and was just like, I don't know, like, you're not gonna get all this right away.
No.
And that was a lesson.
Yeah, yeah, we're similar in that way. It's like, we just, like, you know, we'll lay back here.
Yeah, and when it's your time,
it's time.
Yeah
And Vera, how dignified did the dog, and again, this has turned into a dog podcast, as we just know it has, but how did having Pepper change your life?
Like, completely and fully. So we had dogs growing up, but I'd never had my own dog. And I think what it changed for me was this unconditional, try not to cry, just a source of love that meets you where you're at. Every single day, every single moment, someone who lights up when you walk in the room every single time. And so, you know, in this life, when you're like, again, waiting to meet your partner, whatever, it's like, oh, I have this source of love and I have so much love to give. And it just kind of, it melted me. I wasn't like like shoulders on my ears walking through the world. I was like, oh, I've got this buddy. And I didn't know I was needing it. Yeah, she's beautiful. She is a love story for me for sure. don't know.
God, it's so beautiful. It's so beautiful.
Who can
I'm
say
sitting here? And I do feel the need to show Meatball right now. I'm sorry.
Please. Yeah. I know he's in a visual medium, but
I don't know if you can see him over there.
Oh my God. Yeah. Look at Meatball. That's the best name.
I know. He's just Sergeant Meatball. This whole time. And I don't know if you can see his lips going.
I can see the lips like in a cartoon. Like, he's like
every time he exhales. And I so hear you, Vera, because I'm just. He is truly an antidepressant for me. Like seeing him sleep.
Yeah.
Yes.
Lowers my anxiety to such a degree. Like I just can't with this animal, you know, it's just so beautiful. And I know I issued a public apology last week for the person I was before, because I had never had dogs. So I didn't grow up with dogs. I'd never understood them. And I do think for those of us who didn't know anything about what this connection could be like, you know, it's hard then to turn into such an ambassador, and people have questions about that. And I get it all, but I am, oh boy, you know, and I've said this before, but I really regret not having a dog during Trump's presidency.
Yeah, she got a lot of like squeezes. Like, you know, I was like kneading her back with my hands, just kind of like squeezing her, kind of just, it's crazy. Yeah.
And I still need her now. We all need these like reflections and sort of, you know, they are truly like mirrors and windows. But I just can't believe I got through that time, you know, without him. Yeah. Anyway, I'm so happy you have Pepper.
I know. And when I start seeing Pepper, you know, appear on the Insta, I was like, oh, Vera's cracked open. Like, there's like, I didn't even know that this layer of Vera existed, but there it is.
There it is. People are like, how are you? And how's Pepper? It's like, that's what we're dealing with. And I'm like, that's correct. That's the right order.
Absolutely correct.
Yeah.
Oh, and I love the name Pepper. So my friend Jen growing up, and she's an incredible, I have to have her on the podcast because she has started her own like dog rescue organization called Better Together in Massachusetts. And but she was always a crazy dog lover, and she had a Dalmatian named Pepper while we were growing up, and Jen was obsessed with Pepper. And of course, like, Pepper was a difficult, you know, Dalmatians are tough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, they're bred to, you know, be on a fire truck.
Yeah.
They're living high intensity.
Yes. Very high intensity. Back-draft. Like, we would walk into the home and it was like, don't look at Pepper. Don't think about Pepper.
Like, just don't. We don't talk about Pepper.
We don't talk about Pepper. And meanwhile, Pepper's like jumping on our backs. I mean, I remember one time like having Pepper's paws like over my shoulder. And I was like, wow.
And you had to pretend it wasn't happening.
Yeah. And Jen was like, don't engage. Don't engage. I'm like, it's hard not to. But the name Pepper really just like, it's a joy. Was that always Pepper's name?
Yeah. She came with the name Pepper.
She came with Pepper. Okay, great.
Yeah. Just like a little cutie. So.
Oh, Vera. Wow. Vera, tell me this. In the next phase of Vera, what are Vera's hopes and dreams?
Ooh, I'm just hoping to kind of, I have even more of that feeling of like, okay, life is now, like, let me do my greatest work. Let me not edit my work or be my harshest critic. Just be like, let's put it out there. Let's try, let's get notes. But like, now's the time to really go for those bigger dreams. And that's really like all I have in my sight of like, I kind of just feel like, oh, I have all these ideas. When was I thinking of doing them? Now is the time. What if they're not good? Yeah. What if they're not good? That's okay. You can type something new, or people can criticize you and you can still stand, and you can't just kind of, sort of, I want to do that. I have so many stories, and it's like, I do feel like now is the time. So that's really all I have my eyes set on, like working with people I love. And I don't know, we just got to live life, like enjoy. I went to work the other day and they're like, why are you getting dressed up? I'm like, it feels good. I didn't get to wear anything. And I Why not?
Aren't you?
Yeah. Showing more of your body. I mean, I'd love for you to just to put that on the list. And I know that's usually June's thing, but like, I just, you know, yes, that also.
And that also, that as well. Yeah. Well, listen, a couple things. I'm obviously available as an actress for any of those projects you're speaking of. So please do keep me in
mind. We are tech avail.
Yeah. Tech avail.
Tech avails.
And then also.
Or just avail, really. is there an avail? Because we are.
Utterly available.
Yeah.
Unemployed. I want to say two things, which is that think of me kindly. And then also because I do know how
think
talented
of me first,
you are.
Vera, please think
yeah,
of me first.
And I know you might think of Jessica and I as a similar type. So, you know I don't have the history that Jessica has. But do think of
I don't think of you guys as a similar type. I
thank
don't
you.
At all.
Thank
I
you.
Like this is the delicious part of your duo because I know Jessica and I love seeing how she like maneuvers around you and then how you like just kind of you have like a quiet strength and then like Jessica just is like can be squirrely. So it's like lovely. It's my favorite part.
Great. You get quiet like strength and I get squirrely. That's what well, just so you know
what I am a stand in for Lennon in this podcast.
Yeah.
So. Yes.
Unfortunately, like Lennon has standards and they don't include doing a podcast weekly. And I appreciate that. And I understand that. But I do know my role is like I'm a Bobo Lennon, you know, and I'm really comfortable with that. I really am. And sometimes Lennon will side text me and
wow,
know that.
Wow. Wow.
I know
the danger of bringing all of these
cloth.
But wonderful women together.
And I know, yeah, people like know that I'm standing in for Lennon and that I'm sort of a Lennon surrogate. And I want everybody to know I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
You know, that's not uncomfortable for me. That's not.
Well, and I had to share the Gunkle, you know, one half of the Gunkles I had to share with Vera. They are also best friends. And I was happy to give that.
Yes.
I'm
yes,
so generous.
So yes. Much.
I am a generous squirrel.
You are.
Yes,
my
you
nuts
are. You're
are
a very
for
generous
everyone.
Person, Jessica.
You're the squirrel
you.
Of my dreams, Jessica. I've
Thank
said you. Over and over.
Yeah.
How many times?
But I also want to say to Vera, I'm so appreciative of you being in Jessica's life during that time and being a part of that space for her. It really does move me. And that makes me so happy that someone as clearly Canadian and that sort of, yeah, I mean, it's so the couple that we both know, it's like this beautiful Midwestern good person marrying a very clearly Canadian good person. And it's just, but I consider you cut of the same cloth. And I'm just so happy that you are a part of that very difficult time for Jessica.
And she's like a sister, truly. Like
yeah,
they're like
that's
sisters
really special.
To me.
Mm-hmm. That's really special to me. And I want to thank you for that. And also, I want to say I'm really excited to have you at my home.
I cannot wait. I mean, and if this is any indication, I'm in.
Okay, great. And yeah. Jessica, you are not invited to
I know.
That gathering. And that's, you know, because you just weren't.
I wasn't there.
Guests. Only
I know. I listen. That's fine.
But I do hope that some of the details that come out of that gathering,
I'll text them to Jessica.
Yeah,
please.
Vera will get back to you. I obviously will not be texting, but I do hope that there's some new information that comes.
Appreciate it.
And we
there's
can
no
uncover.
Lady whistle down here. I am trying to get information, and all I have is like the same picture of June in that dress where she couldn't wear underwear over
you know
and over
what?
Again.
I also do feel like we need to reinstate the society pages. Like,
yes!
Do we need to, you know, because
yes!
this wedding was the wedding of the century. And it does feel like there needs to be more reporting.
Like remember
journalism.
Philadelphia Story? Remember Philadelphia Story when the reporter shows up and Katherine Hepburn's like, oh, no, you're not going to see this.
Yes.
You know, that's what we need. We needed a reporter on site.
Right, so that people like Jessica, who unfortunately didn't score an invite,
yeah,
can still,
that's too bad.
And that's too bad, but they can still feel on whatever level they're on, like they're a part of it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Oh, Vera, we love you so much. Thank you for being on the deep dive.
And
thank you for
talk
everything.
To you guys forever.
Find you.
Yeah, where are we getting pepper content?
I did follow you on Insta.
So yeah,
I think people could follow me on Insta. You know, I'm just getting used to like, okay, I don't have to be private. I can share these dog pictures with the world. So
that, sure? Okay.
I think I'm at Vera Santa Maria at Instagram.com.
Oh God.
That feels wholly wrong. I'm at Vera Santa Maria. That's how cool people say it.
You're at Vera Santa Maria.
Okay. Instagram.com. Oh,
okay.
Boy.
Follow that for delicious pepper content. And also I'm hoping to see more of your body and also to hear about all the things that are happening with Vera's
Me
career.
Too.
You want to be watching everything she's
I
a
do
part
want
of.
To shout out one of your best friends. I actually did a deep dive on her from Instagram, which is at Pop Gloss.
Yes, Mara Marini. Jessica's heard all about her.
Yes. On Instagram, because she looks like my best friend whose wedding I was talking about earlier. So I was on, and I know we have to wrap it up. I have to go. I'm 5 minutes late for a phone call.
Great.
Yeah. But I will tell you that I started off on your Insta, and I found, you know, it's so funny how you find your way over.
Yeah.
But I see this picture of you and Pop Gloss.
Mara, yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like, God, this is a stunning Jess. Look at that.
Oh my God. Yeah. Oh, I've met her. She's stunning.
Off of these two together.
Yeah.
Powerful duo.
Yeah.
And look at this woman's hoops.
Yeah. Yes.
Look at
yes.
this.
Those yes. hoops are yes.
Honestly,
the right size.
The craziest thing I have ever seen.
They're
I
the
love
right
them
size.
So much. So anyway, she just looks
this
like so much
This is a love
fun.
Of mine. She is another love story of the ages because we could not be more opposite. And yet I have found this woman in my life who is pulling me to new heights, different parties. And like, it's just been, we're calling ourselves. Yeah. It's
the fact that you have a best friend. And again, I did go down a rabbit hole with her whose handle is Pop Gloss made me, it filled me with so much joy and excitement. Yeah. And I couldn't click on Pop Gloss quick enough.
Yes.
So I also just want to shout her out because you know what? None of us are self-made. Like we're with you and we're also with Pop Gloss. And
I cannot recommend her enough. She will change your life, her approach to Instagram. And she lives life with like a joy that I hadn't experienced before I met her. And she was just like, come on, we're doing this X dumb thing. And I would be like, and I was like, okay. And then I've had the best times of my life with her.
I love that.
Everyone find a Pop Gloss.
Yeah.
Find your Pop Gloss.
Find your Vera Santa Maria.com. God damn that body. See, that's the kind of body con stuff I want to see you in, Vera.
Yeah. So I'm just
she
so
would
glad.
Like that
I'm
too.
I love the two of you together. A part of me wants you to write a show about you and Pop Gloss. I'm sorry.
I'm working on it.
That's great.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you for coming on, Vera.
Thank you, guys.
I will see you on Sunday night.
See you on Sunday night.
Okay.
Jessica.
Okay, have a great week, Deep Divers.
Bye, guys.
Let's go on the deep dive. Let's go dive in deep. Let's go on the deep dive. No secrets will we keep. It's June and Jessica going deep. How deep can you go? Oh, really deep. Let's go on the deep dive. Let's go dive in deep.
The Deep Dive is produced by Jessica St. Clair, June Diane Raphael, and Earwolf. Our producer is Cody Fisher and sound engineer Jordan Duffy. You can listen to our ad-free and bonus episodes on Stitcher Premium. And for a free 1 month trial of Stitcher, use code DEEPDIVE. And remember, the best way to support this show is to rate and review.
And a huge thank you to Ann Geddes for her beautiful photo that she allowed us to use for our cover art. Please head over to AnnGeddesBaby.com and download her new app, which is a safe place you can upload and store all of your precious images of your children and share them with friends and family, plus much more.
We'll see you next time.